Hallelujah. Well, we started a series a few weeks ago called Strong in Spirit, and we're going to keep going on that. We're going to review some today, so we're going to go through a number of scriptures, and we're going to use your scripture sheet just to run through those, and then we're going to get a little bit further this morning. Why don't you go ahead, let's look on your sheet there, and then we'll turn to Ephesians 3, but Luke 2:40, if you look on your sheet there, Luke 2:40, it says, "The child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." This is talking about Jesus. Notice it says he became strong in spirit. Now, he was the Son of God and is the Son of God. He was 100% God, 100% man. He came and dwelt on the earth and walked among men for our good. He did it for us. He didn't do it for himself. He didn't need to be saved. He hadn't sinned. But he gave his life for us. But the Bible says he was strong in spirit. Now, turn to Ephesians 3:14. Ephesians 3:14, and then put it up on the screen too. And of course, it's on your sheet. Ephesians 3:14. Now, this is a prayer. You can pray for yourself. You can pray for others. Powerful. Ephesians 3:14 says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." Notice that. In the inner man. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Now notice verse 16. It says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit, where? In the inner man. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love," and then it goes on so forth, and we'll get into that, I believe, maybe more, as we go on. But the part I want you to recognize this morning is that it says that you'd be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Now, we talked about the inner man. Once you skip down on your sheet to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We're just doing some review here. We'll go through these verses fairly quickly, I think. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, like we've taught on. And if you didn't hear those messages earlier, the first one in this series, and then the previous series, we finished up some on that. But your spirit, soul, and body, we're a three-part being. And we're actually teaching on this on Wednesday some. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Now, everybody's familiar with the body, because we see the body all the time. You deal with the body, you get up, you got to get your body out of bed, you got to go brush your teeth, which is part of your body, you know, take a shower. We know that. Your spirit is the real you. You are a spirit, and you're going to exist after you leave your body. In fact, that's when your body is separated from your spirit, your body is dead. But you aren't dead. You're alive. And every person's going to be alive somewhere. They're going to be in heaven, they're going to be in hell. There isn't a third option, and God never sent anybody to hell. God sent Jesus to die for all people, and people send themselves to hell by rejecting Jesus. Amen. The Bible says God does not want anybody to perish. But if if people reject Jesus, then they will have this, and because they're deceived by the devil, they will have the same fate as the devil. The Bible says that the hell's prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for men. But if men listen to the deceiver, Satan, then they'll have the same fate. That's not God's will, but it's the truth. So you have you are a spirit, and your spirit's going to exist forever. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And you have a soul, and your soul doesn't cease to exist when you leave this body. And we could go into that more, but we haven't. I'm not going to take the time to review. Please go back and listen to those messages. We're also teaching on a parallel vein on Wednesdays. 1 Peter 3:3, do not let your, just to, another thing about the inner man, 1 Peter 3:3, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, and putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart. That's what we're talking about, the person you don't see. See, you're seeing me, you're seeing my body, but you don't see the real me. I don't see the real you. But your spirit being is alive to God. That's the part that when you get born again, that's alive to God. It said, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. So we are a spirit being. We are created in the image of God, Genesis 1:26 says. It's important to know that. So we're talking about being strong in spirit or being spiritual. Now, really quick, let's go over a few more verses. Like I said, we're just kind of we're recapping some of these things, and we'll go forward. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Says, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now are still not able. Galatians 6, verse 1 says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one with the spirit of gentleness. Hebrews 5:12 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, or we would say baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age or mature. So spiritual, we're talking about that. Being spiritual is somebody that's strong in spirit, somebody that's mature spiritually. And here's the confusing thing to a lot of people. You can be immature spiritually in a baby, yet your outward body has been on the earth for decades. 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, yet be a baby spiritually. And that's what throws people. Well, and here's the thing. You don't necessarily grow at all just because you got born again. Growth is not automatic spiritually. So that means somebody says, I got born again 40 years ago. Okay? You could still be a baby. And that's the confusing thing. People say, look, well, that person's been born again for 40 years. If they didn't do anything with it, if they didn't get fed and they didn't exercise, they could still be a baby. And this is what confuses people, because they look and they go, wow, that person's a seasoned Christian. Not necessarily. Doesn't have anything to do with your outward appearance. Other hand, you could get born again and start growing, and that's what we're getting into, talking, doing what the Bible said to do, and you could be growing fast on the inward man. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a baby. Every one of us in here, we're a baby at one point. Right? Physically? Nothing wrong with a baby. Babies are cute. You know, but if, you know, babies are supposed to grow. And physically, they're supposed to grow. And spiritually, we're supposed to grow up. If somebody is 40 years old, been born again for 40 years old, and still a baby, there's a problem. And we don't want to be that. So we spiritual people, not everybody qualify or is in this classification. Spiritual means you're mature, means you're strong in spirit. Now, real quick, let's see. We want to go there. Now, let's go. Let's do it this way. Last week, we were talking about being spiritual, or teaching on being spiritual. One part of that is that you're growing up into the image of Jesus. All right? Look at, and we went over these scriptures last week. I'm just going to go over them rather quickly. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. See, the goal is a spiritual person is going to act more and more like Jesus. And we're going to get into some aspects of this, I believe. But that's the goal, is to be like Him. That we're being transformed. That doesn't mean you snap your fingers and you're there. I wish it were like that. But it's a process. We grow up over time. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified." So it says He also, in verse 29, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." See, God knows what individuals are going to trust Him. Now, we talked about this last week, not going to get into this, but real quickly, that doesn't mean He pre-selects people, because that would contradict other scriptures. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. No, He didn't decide for you, and some people would say, well, you don't have any choice. No, that's not what the Bible says, but He knows in His infinite wisdom, He knows who's going to trust Him. And so He knows who's going to trust Him, and so He's predestined them to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's His will for us, is to be like Jesus. Now, somebody said, that's impossible. No, that's what the Bible said. We're supposed to grow up to be like Him. Real quick, we're going to come back to this verse, but just on your sheet, look at Ephesians 4:11. No, we're giving you a lot of scripture, but that's good. We're laying a foundation here. Look at Ephesians 4:11. We're going to come back to this scripture, but I just want you to see this in context of what we just read. He Himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man or a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the goal. If the Bible said that's the goal, then that's the goal, and we can do what the Bible said. If we say, well, that's impossible, well, we're taking sides against the Word of God. That's never going to work. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for edifying itself in love. Now, we're going to come back to that in a moment. So I just kind of flew over that. But so we've talked about, we are a three-part being. There is something about being spiritual, being grown up spiritually, being strong in spirit. And part of that is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Now, He Himself oversees that process. Jesus is the head of the church. He is the name. He has the name above all names. The Bible said He is the head of the church. Here, we're going to see several scriptures. He is the shepherd. We are the sheep. But He is the one that oversees the body. Look at Mark 6:33. Go ahead and turn there. Mark 6:33. Before you go there, I want to read, let's go ahead and put it up on the screen. You're in Mark, right? Mark 6. Could we put up Ephesians 1? That's not on your sheet, but Ephesians 1, I just want you to see what we're just talking about. Ephesians 1, verse 21. It says, it's kind of in the middle of a verse, but look at verse, can you go to verse 20? Man, just got to keep going back. All right, we're just going to say this. It says his mighty power right here before this, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Jesus is the head. Look at the next verse. Which is his body. See, we're his body. Jesus is the head. The fullness of him who fills all in all. So Jesus is the head of the church. We're the body of Christ. We're part of his body, but he's the head. Now you guys are in Mark 6. Mark 6 says, but the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. He began to teach them many things. He looked out and looked at the multitude and said, they're like a sheep, or saw that they were like a sheep, not, or like sheep, not having a shepherd. So, now I'm not like, you know, a physical shepherd. I've never been around sheep or whatever, but just from, you know, what literally, you know, you can see in the Bible, if you have the sheep just running around, not having a shepherd, well, they're going to have to fend for themselves, feeding. They're not protected. Jesus is saying he saw the people and they looked like sheep without a shepherd. Mark 14, go ahead and look on your sheet there. Mark 14, verse 27. It says, then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. So Jesus, here, he's talking about himself. He is the shepherd. Jesus is the head of the church, and he's ultimately in charge and watching over his sheep. But it says here, he said, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Well, you could see that in the natural as well. Without the shepherd, the sheep aren't taken care of. Hebrews 13, verse 20. It says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. So this verse calls Jesus the great shepherd of the sheep. Now look at John 10. Giving a little bit of backdrop so we can go further in specific things today. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to kill, or to steal, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the what? Good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So we can say he was just called the great shepherd of the sheep. Here he's called the good shepherd. All right? Let's go to 1 Peter 5. Just look on your... sheet there. Actually, let's turn over there. Let's turn over to 1 Peter. And it's, of course, it's on your sheet too. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. First Peter 5, verse 1. The elders, everybody there? The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. Now this is talking about pastors. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but what? Willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Now notice there in verse 4, what does it say? It says, and when the chief shepherd appears. Who's that?
Jesus.
So we see here it calls him the chief shepherd. John 10 calls him the good shepherd. Hebrews 13 calls him the great shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd. He is the head of the church. But he has placed in the church under shepherds. Under shepherds. And that's what, when you see this here in verse 1, the elders who are among you, I exhort, who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and also partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. That word shepherd literally means to feed. If you look it up, it means to feed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. You can see that. Look on your sheet, 1 Peter 2, the Living Bible, which I don't think you have the Living Bible there, but it's on your sheet. Feed the flock of God, care for it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you get out of it, but because you are eager to serve the Lord. Look at, do you have the Young's Literal? 1 Peter 5, 2 in the Young's Literal. It says, feed the flock of God that is among you. See, Young's Literal is very literal. That's who, Young is the one that made the Young's Concordance. So when you read things in the Young's Concordance or the Young's Literal Translation, it's a little bit awkward in the English because it's just translating it right over from the original text. And so maybe sometimes it reads awkward, but it's spot on as far as what the text actually says. It says, feed the flock of God that is among you. Feed the flock of God that is among you. Look at Acts 20, 28 on your sheet there. It says, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Notice that. Who made them overseers? The Holy Spirit. No matter what title you have. That's like I said last week. You can put a piece of tape with a title on an empty can and that doesn't put anything in the can. Just because you put a title on something does not mean it is that. The Holy Spirit equips and endows men and women to do this. To stand in offices. But here it says, among you which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Same word. It literally means to feed. To feed the church. Now go ahead and go back over to Ephesians 4. And this is what I told you, we're just flying over that, we would get into this. Now this is where we're getting into what we really want to cover today. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:11. Ephesians 4:11. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may what? Grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now let's go back to verse 11. He himself, we just read, the Holy Spirit, made people. We just read in the previous verse, the Holy Spirit made you overseers. Here you see, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. We touched on those last week. The body of Christ overall needs all of these. Overall. That doesn't mean every local church is going to have all these functioning in the local body. Some people have said that, and then they try to say, well, in the local body, there's got to be an apostle and a prophet and evangelist. No, that's not. The Bible doesn't say that. It says it gave some. Now, you will have a pastor. Now, in the body of Christ overall, there are apostles, there are prophets, there are evangelists, pastors, teachers. And these are all valid today, just as they were when this was written. None of these have passed away. There are prophets, there are apostles, there are evangelists. Not as many as people say there are. You know, people say, well, prophet so-and-so, and apostle so-and-so, and throw around these titles like they're handing out candy. No, God calls people to be in certain areas, and just because you put a title on something does not mean those people are equipped to do anything. If they are equipped, it will be clear and there will be fruit. And we need all of these to grow up as the body of Christ. But that doesn't mean there's an apostle, prophet, evangelist in every body, every local body. Pastors ought to be a pastor. And a pastor will have a teaching gift. And there are people that are called to the body of Christ overall as teachers. But notice why he gave them. For the equipping of the saints. For the equipping of the saints. What? Why? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man or a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we're supposed to grow up. Why did God give these gifts? So that we would grow up. That's part of the way we do grow up. Some people say, well, I don't need to be in church. That's contradicting the Bible. That's saying, I don't need what Jesus said I need. Because he said he gave these gifts for the equipping of the saints. Some people say, I can be just as good a Christian without a local church. That's not what the Bible says. You won't be. If Jesus, the head of the church, gave gifts unto men, and he gave these gifts, why? So we would be equipped. And then we say, well, I don't need that. Who are we contradicting? God. He says, you need this. And you say, I don't need that. Now, who do you think's right? You know, if you tell your child you need this and say, I don't need that. No, you do. I don't. Son, daughter, you need this. Well, I don't need that. You and your wisdom have seen you need this. They're saying, I don't need this. That doesn't bless you. And the problem is, you, the child, could be hurt because they don't see something that you see. Well, God knows what we need, and he set the church in order. And he told us to gather together, and he's the one. He is the one that set gifts in the church, not men. Amen. You can't call yourself to the ministry. You can try to stand in an office, but you won't have the equipment. Not you, a person, will not have the equipment to do anything. Some people can try to make somebody a minister in a certain capacity. God calls people, and it's supernatural, and no man takes that honor unto themselves. Should not. You can't make yourself have a certain anointing. There are men and women that are anointed to run businesses. Everything they touch turns to gold. There are men and women that are anointed to be engineers. You know, you don't want the person that doesn't know what they're doing to build the bridge that you're going to drive on. There are anointed surgeons, and you definitely don't want somebody that doesn't know what they're doing operating on you. Do you?
No.
There's every area of life, people, if they'll find what God has called them to do, there is an anointing that goes with that, and they can't make that happen. God, the anointing just means that that's the way the Holy Spirit comes on you to work in a certain area. And we should not make light of anything, but we shouldn't try to operate in places that we're not called to do. Why would we waste our time doing that? We don't have forever on this earth. We ought to get in the right place and get at it. That's exactly what these verses are talking about. These gifts have been given to the body of Christ so we can grow up and get to do what God has called us to do and be strong and equipped to do it. That's why we have these gifts in the body of Christ. And if we're called to do something and we're not making use and not taking advantage of what God has given us to do that well, we're not going to be all we were supposed to be. So it says, verse 12, for that he gave these gifts for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that what? We should no longer be children. We should not be children. We should grow up. Well, we're going to grow up through this process that it's talking about right here. We shouldn't be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You know, we're not supposed to be going from thing to thing to thing, being confused all the time. Do you realize a lot of the body of Christ is confused?
Yes.
But we don't have to be. Did you know we don't have to be? We don't have to go around going, what is this right or that's right, and this person said this and this person said that. We need to be grounded and rooted in His Word. His Word is truth. God's Word is the right way. And we have to, I don't care who says, who has what opinion and what may be popular, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, throw it away. Because God's Word is what's going to stand through all the fads, for all the things that people get emotional about, through all the waves. Do you realize that the things that people get all excited about, they had the same thing 25, 30 years ago, it just had a different packaging on it? It's true. You see this with clothes. Just slightly different, so you can't wear the old clothes, you got to get the new ones, but they look a whole lot like the old clothes. Well, that's the way it is in the body of Christ. Woo, this new thing is sweeping through, and it's, wow, this is the revelation. There aren't any new revelations on earth. The Bible was the revelation for God. Now, the Holy Spirit can direct and guide us, and He can re-emphasize something that's already in the Word. But there is nothing new. All the things you're seeing come to pass over these centuries that God has re-emphasized at the beginning of the 1900s. He was re-emphasized, the filling, infilling of the Holy Spirit, the Pentecostal experience. That was back on the day of Pentecost. That's in the Bible. It just started to be restored to the church. The healing revivals in the 40s and 50s, in 1940s and 50s, that was emphasized, and it was, you know, people got healed very easily. That was being emphasized by God, but that wasn't new. No, Jesus died 2,000 years ago. And before to purchase for us healing. But before that, even in the old covenant, they had a covenant of healing. The Bible said, I am the Lord that heals you. I'm the Lord, your physician, it says in Exodus 15, 26. I heal all your diseases, Psalm 103. So these things were emphasized again. But people want to come up with something new and say, there's something new over here and we got to run to get this and this is how you'll be. This is more, they may not use these words, but we're spiritual if you're hooked up to that. But what does it say here? That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know what it's a sign of if we're running around to after doctrines all the time? Sign of being a child. Not being established. Not being strong and secure. And starting to grow up in Him. God doesn't change His mind every day. Did I lose somebody? God does not speak as often as some people would say He speaks. I'm talking about direction changes. Sure, He speaks to you every day. If you listen, He'll tell you how to do small things. What car to pick out. What, you know, even outfits. You know, different things. Obviously, things, whom to marry. Where to go to school. Yeah, He's going to lead you and guide you. He'll lead you in the small affairs of life. He'll show you, you know, take a different route because you'll save time. Don't take that way. But He'll speak to you, but He does not change the direction of your life frequently. Did somebody listen? Are you listening?
Yeah, we're listening.
He doesn't tell you, go here. And oh, wait, now the next week, go here. Hook up with this ministry. Oh, wait, now hook up over here. He does not do that. God is not fickle. He's not fickle. He doesn't change His mind every day. He will direct you and guide you, and if He told you something, it does not change every day. And so much, you know what changes? We get antsy. We get itchy. We're tired of doing something. And so people, they get uncomfortable and they say, well, God told me, be very careful telling especially other people, that God told you something. People put labels all the time that God told me, and it wasn't God at all. It was their flesh. It was, you know, their emotions. And then they say, God told me. Well, if you're going to say God told you, who am I to argue with God? Be very careful telling your spouse, God told me. Because what are they going to say? You just threw down the gauntlet now. If they say anything other than what you said, it's against God. Right? That's not a good way to have a conversation. I like your input, but God told me this. Well, what are we going to do? If we say, you know what? I believe the Lord may be speaking to me about this. What do you think about this? What is your take? You open the door. You leave the door open for it to be that you missed it. That you, and if it's just forming in you, Why you want to jump forward to say God told you? Why not sit on it? Especially if it's a big decision. And if you're married to somebody, then you want to be agreed on big decisions. Well, there's going to be trouble. Amen? So there's a lot that goes on that people get excited about, that people run to the left, run to the right. God's doing this, God's doing that. And God does move, and God does emphasize certain things, but He does not change direction as much as some people think He changes direction. We're not supposed to be tossed to and fro like children. It says in verse 14 that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head. Speaking the truth in love may grow up. One of the main ways we're going to grow up is by hearing the word, the truth. The Bible calls the word the truth. The Bible says your word is truth. The Bible calls Jesus the word. The Bible calls Jesus, He said, I am the truth. So the word and truth and Jesus are synonymous. So we are talking about speaking the truth in love. You're talking about the word. You're talking about light. You're talking about Jesus. You're talking about Him, His ways, way He, His word. And that's how we're going to grow up if we'll receive it. Strong, secure, stable, based on what? The rock that never changes. That's how we want to be. We don't want to be running over here and there, but how are we going to get there? The truth spoken in love. The Word of God going forth, but in context, where is this saying? It says He gave some, and He mentioned the ministry gifts, for the equipping of the saints. And let's just read it and get to back to the verse we are, but let's read it all in context. Verse 11. He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for building up, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should know, this is all part of the same thing. He's saying we gave gifts so that we're going to be edified, built up, strengthened, so we can do what we're called to do, that we should no longer be children, so that we are not tossed to and fro. If you have a job to do and have business to do, you want to be strengthened to do it and you want to get about doing it. You don't want to be messing around going to the right and the left and going zigging and zagging and wasting 10, 15, 20 years of your life. Do we? No. God has something for us to do. Well, this is a way we get after it. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But, see, we don't want to do that, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Now, God's going to grow us up through His Word, through His Spirit. One way He's doing that is going on right now. In this atmosphere, we are speaking the word. The Spirit of God is anointing it, and He is saying things to each person that I'm not saying. It's His word, it's His Spirit, but He will take that, like He said in His word, and He will take it and He will apply it specifically to what's going on in you, spirit to spirit, and you're getting fed, you're getting strengthened, you're getting helped, you're getting equipped to do what God has called you to do by putting ourselves under this atmosphere. Because of what He said here. This is His idea, not men's. Amen. But us putting ourselves in this atmosphere is one way to say, oh, I don't need that. I'm good at home. We're missing out on this. We will not be as strong as we ought to be. We read that Jesus is the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and that there are under shepherds and they're to feed. Feed with what? The word. Speaking the truth in love. This, see, we're a spirit being, just like you know. We need natural food to be strong, right? You just don't eat the right stuff, you're going to be weak. And there's exercise as well. You need to eat the right food. You need to exercise. The food, spiritually, is the Word of God. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how we grow. That's how we get strengthened. This is how we grow spiritually. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Look on your sheet there. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Now, this is one aspect. We're emphasizing right here the role of the church and being in church, being with a body of Christ, a local body, has in our life to be strong. Of course, we need to read the Bible on our own. We can pray. And there are other aspects. We're just emphasizing this part because God said that's the whole reason He gave these gifts. For us to be strong and for us to get what we need. Here's the thing. We can go and get different bits, and this is what so many people do, because we have it. It's so easy to get a hold of teaching now. It's on the internet. You don't have to get a hold of a physical tape or CD or anything. I mean, you just go any number of sites. It's so easy, and people think I can just, like a buffet, cherry pick and I'll be strong. It's not true. If we will go before the Almighty and say, Lord, where would you have me to be? What local body would you have me to be a part of? What church? See, people take this, they go about this way, way, way too flippantly. And people change churches like they're changing socks. The danger, if God told us to hook up with a certain area, a certain local body, then that is where we're going to get equipped to do what we're called to do on the earth for that time. Amen. Now, I don't mean you're going to be there forever. But God should move us on. If we decide, I don't like something, this is not the way I would like it, who's directing our life? Is Jesus our Lord or is not? Who's the head of the church? Tell me who the head of the church is. Jesus. Who's the chief shepherd? Jesus. Now, who should we go ask where we're supposed to hook up with the what under shepherd? God Almighty. Jesus is the head of the church. Now, if we ask Him and He says, son, daughter, you're supposed to be here, then should we decide we're going to go somewhere else? And if we decide, well, I'm not comfortable, guess what? We're talking about growing. Has anybody ever had to change anything in your life? Is it always comfortable? It's not comfortable. In fact, if you're going to actually grow up and change, you're going to want to bolt sometimes. I've wanted to bolt in different things as I've been part of churches over time. Before I was a pastor, it's hard on your flesh sometimes because when God is growing us up, it's not easy.
Oh, you can say that again.
But if we're always jumping out, this is what happens. Listen. Everybody listening. We start being challenged by the Word to grow. Our flesh does not like it. It starts crawling. It wants to get out. It wants to go somewhere comfortable. I want to hear something that just makes me feel good about where I'm at. Don't tell me I have to change. But it's the Word. Do we believe what we've read so far or not? Who's the chief shepherd? It's Jesus. Is he going to grow us up? Are we going to cooperate with him? And then if he told us to hook up with something, and we start growing, and then we start feeling uncomfortable, who have we submitted to? If we say Jesus is our Lord, then I'm going to go and be in the place and be involved and do with my life what you tell me to do. And if it gets uncomfortable, I mean, this can apply to what job you're doing. It can apply to different things you should be involved in. You can get to where that's uncomfortable and you want to change it. And this is where people start saying, the Lord told me to do something else. I'm giving you the truth. The Lord told me. You know what really happened? I got uncomfortable. I didn't want to change. And so I decided to get over here. I decided to get out of what he was telling me to do. People move to different cities, move to different jobs because they're uncomfortable. What does that sound like from what we read in Ephesians, being tossed? Sounds like a child. See, a lot of people think they're spiritual, and they're not, because they don't do what God told them to do. And just jumping forward, we've said this, a spiritual person is going to do what the Bible tells them to do, whether it's comfortable or not. They're going to do what God told them to do in their individual lives, whether it's comfortable or not. A soldier will go through hell to stick to his mission. Huh?
Yes.
They're in the middle of stuff that is not comfortable. And if they're saying, I don't like this, is that an option?
No.
It's not an option. The Bible says we're to be like soldiers. That's a mature person. They stay steady and it's crawling on them and they're not wanting to do it and their flesh is going, I can't take it. And they say, sir, yes, sir, I'm staying here. I'm strong. And that growth comes through that to where you are strong and stable and stuff does not move you. That's a spiritual person. Stable, strong, there where God has told us to get. But this isn't always easy where he wants us to be. This isn't easy on your flesh. If somebody said, well, that's easy. You ever been through it? It's not easy. Let's look at this quick. Preach the word. 2 Timothy 4:2. How are we doing? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort. Now this is talking to Timothy. Paul's talking to Timothy. Preach the word. What's the word? It's the truth. This is what we just got done talking about. Preaching or teaching the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love, he's saying preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Timothy's a young pastor. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Listen to this. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, stable, secure, entrenched in what God has said, but according to their own desires, because they have what? Itching ears. This is so much, so prevalent today. And the thing is, you can just turn the channel if you don't like what you're hearing. They will heap up for themselves, what? Teachers. And they will turn their ears away from what?
The truth
and be turned aside to fables. If you turn your side from truth, what are you believing?
A lie.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. God is so good. He is a good God.
Yes.
Do you understand So we're talking about being spiritual. Part of that, we're going to talk about different aspects of, we're going to get into this thing as we're led. But part of this is we need to be hooked up with somewhere where we're going to grow. We're going to be fed the word. We're going to have the opportunity to exercise our love walk, which ultimately we're going to get to, I believe. Mm-hmm. A spiritual person walks in love.
Amen.
Don't know if you picked up on some of the scriptures we were talking about, but we will walk in love. That, see, love always does what God is telling us to do in His Word and by His Spirit.
Hallelujah.
That's a spiritual person. But if we're going to do that, we're going to have to grow. And if we're going to grow, it's not always comfortable. And that's where it's so easy to get out of the training program. Let's be honest. It's easy to say, I'm done with this. You know, has anybody ever been on an exercise program?
Yeah.
Easy to start out. But then you go home the first day and then you might be sore. You come back and you're going to do that. And then anybody ever been on a food, diet? Get through the first few days, but then you get into the meat where you're exercising and it still hurts from the last time, and you don't want to get up at that time. You don't want to be there. And then, with food, you get to the place where, well, I can do this. At the beginning, everything seems easy. I can eat this and I'll just do without this. But then you get to the place where it actually hits you where it hurts. I want really some of this, but I can't have it. Now you start getting into where it's uncomfortable. But if you get past certain places, stuff goes away, doesn't it? I mean, you can get to levels. But when that's the same thing that's going on, it's like we get to, I'm going to grow, I'm going to change this. Number one, we better be sure we're doing what God told us to do. We're doing it by His strength and His grace. But as we do it, there's going to be a temptation to say, man, I'm done with this program. It hurts. But His grace is sufficient. Talk is cheap. It's easy to talk about being spiritual. It's another thing to do it. It's another thing to do what He told us to do. It's another thing to put our flesh down. And you can only do that truly and get free and grow up by His strength and His help. But we can. We can grow up. Amen?
Amen.
He's so good. Praise God. Why don't you go ahead and stand to your feet?